And now, it's time for the Yacht Club Show with Killer, Rev D, Dr. Jim, and Coach.
Right, welcome back, listeners. Surviving the pandemic with the Yacht Club Show. I believe this is episode number 8, but I think we've all lost track. This has gone on much longer than anyone would have guessed.
True that, Killer.
Yeah.
True that.
Yeah, and every time our governor gets on the TV, she's extending it another couple weeks. So what are we looking at now?
What is it, June 12th? Isn't it the stay at home till June 12th?
Yep.
Okay, and explain to me, the state of emergency goes to June 19th.
So I don't know what that means.
I don't know either. I don't know what the difference is in that right now. But okay, explain this to me then. So the mall, 12 Oaks Mall, is opening Thursday, but I can't leave my house.
So no, you can leave your house, but if you want to go to a store in the mall, don't you have to make an appointment or something?
Well, okay, so then what's the stay at home?
Stay at home is I don't think you can have gatherings of more than 10 people or something like that. Is that it?
I don't know. It's all very confusing.
It really is.
And let's face it, it was confusing to the governor's husband, too, over the weekend.
How's that?
You hear about him requesting to get his boat put in at the marina?
Where's the marina, though? Is it up north?
Yeah, they have a place in somewhere around Elk Rapids.
Well, wasn't the stay-at-home lifted for up there?
Yeah, it was lifted, but she said, you know, I don't want everybody descending on northern Michigan this weekend.
But my husband and I can get our boat.
Well, but he was up there, supposedly, she said, raking leaves, which I suppose is believable. He was up there one or two nights, she said, raking leaves. But while he was up there, he called the marina where they store their boat to see if he could get it put in the water over the weekend. And because they're way behind, they haven't been able to get any boats in. They told him it wasn't possible. So he said, what if I told you I was the governor's husband? And so she said, and that made it to Facebook, obviously, and there was brouhaha about that. And she said it was a joke. He was just joking.
I doubt that.
Who knows? Who knows? But, yeah, that was the latest controversy with Whitmer. But, yeah, she could be extending it. Who knows? I mean, it seems very arbitrary at this point. And, you know, what bothers me, guys, when I listen to her, she's very condescending in her in her tone.
Yeah, that might be a worse attribute.
And that she has that kind of smile or smirk when she's announcing I'm extending the lockdown for another 2 weeks. She actually seems gleeful about it. It's really strange. Really strange.
Like one of those nuns in grade school.
Yeah, it's kind of what it reminds you of. Yeah.
Extending your demerits or whatever for you.
Yeah, I just find it really off-putting.
So hopefully that's it. Hopefully we can, I don't know what I'd go to the mall for, but hopefully we can.
I mean, I'm not sure what you're supposed to do when you get there.
Yeah, you can go there and you make an appointment. You can go online. When you're there, I guess maybe earlier, there's going to be an app. You can make an appointment to go in the store. And there's no more than, what, probably 10 in the store at a time.
So you have to know what store you want to go to, and you have to select a time when you can get there.
Yeah, I think that's it exactly.
I mean, who in their right mind is going to do that? I think I want to, I want to get the pennies before they're gone so I can tell my grandchildren. And I have to make an appointment at 2:30 in the afternoon. I mean, it's just ludicrous.
I don't know if you can wander around the store once you're there. I'm not sure what the protocol is there. But the good thing is things are opening up a little bit. The economy's got to get going.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how any of this is supposed to work and what even the economy is supposed to look like after this as far as a you know, a health crisis, I think it's gone.
Do you really?
Yeah. People are going to die from it, but you know what? I think I heard people were dying before this came along, and they're going to continue to do so after it's gone. 80% of the people who are dying are in nursing homes or senior residences. And then yet the entire population is supposed to act as if they're at equal risk. Doesn't make any sense.
So, okay, so you think at this point, we just have to learn to coexist with it.
Yeah.
There's, the cases might spike up to some extent, but not enough to justify shutting things down again.
So someone tests positive for COVID. What does that mean? And you test them, and they test positive. Okay, and then, you know, 2 weeks later, they essentially go into, say, some sort of self-quarantine for 2 weeks. And nothing happens to them for 2 weeks, and they're back out again. Or they have some flu-like symptoms, which passes, and they're back out again. Of what practical purpose does all of this begin to serve? Because even if you test people, let's say you test today, and you're negative. Don't you have to test tomorrow? Something could have happened overnight.
Right. You almost have to test daily.
Test daily.
Yeah, I think we're at a point where we've learned probably as much as we're going to learn about this thing. We're months, if not a year plus, away from a vaccine. I think we're at the point now where we do need to learn how to coexist with this. So,
yeah.
So Governor Whitmer, who I've been supportive of her policies on this, but at some point it's like, all right, what's going to happen? What's going to be so miraculous June 15th? What's going to change? I don't think anything's going to change. So at this point, instead of just extending this, like you said, Dave, the last show, all right, how do we coexist with this? What are some guidelines? What do barbers need to do? What do salons need to do? What do restaurants need? Give us some help here. Let's open up the economy. I just don't understand this. I'm trying to understand what's going to happen between now and June 15th, that's going to make her say, okay, time to open things up.
What is the goal of all this control? I mean, seriously.
Jim, do you think there's a political bent then to, even on the Republican side or the Democrat side, to open or close the economy? Is it politics at play on both sides then?
Yes, I do think that's the case. And I think the Republicans have the better, the better position that they're in, because, in my opinion, the actual severity of this illness is confined to the elderly and those with pre-existing conditions. And whether or not you open up the economy, let's say you don't open up the economy, nobody can do anything, okay? Doesn't everybody have to avoid interacting with that group anyway?
Right.
Right. Yeah, exactly. They have been deemed the most vulnerable. We know enough now how to protect these people, right?
Yeah. We think we have some idea of how to cope with any influx, uptick in cases.
Or how to protect the most vulnerable as well. I think there's certain actions that can be taken in these nursing homes to greatly reduce the risk.
And I think they should be being taken right now, and they should continue to be taken as time goes by.
Absolutely.
So the people in these nursing homes are essentially going to be prisoners for life. They'll never be able to come out.
Yeah, that's a sad reality. Yeah.
But you can't do that. You know, these people are suffering in there. I've talked to you about American House, and I still talk to the people there. They haven't seen their families since the middle of March.
Right.
There's got to be a way, you know, whether it's testing, taking a temperature at the door, there's got to be a way that they can mitigate the risk.
Yeah, but that problem is totally independent to opening up the economy.
True, I agree. Yeah, two separate issues.
Well,
I agree.
But they all kind of get lumped in the same conversation, though, right?
Yes. I mean, it's totally illogical. whether or not it's safe for visitors to go to a nursing home has nothing to do with me going to a restaurant. Nothing. As long as I am not interacting with people in this group,
right,
of which I happen to be a member, but you know, as long as you're not, you know, my kids go to school.
As long as you're not going to a nursing home, you're fine to go to a restaurant.
Right, but I can't go to a nursing home now, and I cannot go to a restaurant.
Right.
So then the argument is, well, you can't go to a restaurant because you might catch something and then take it into a nursing home. I can never go to a nursing home. What are you talking about? So why are you telling me I can't go to a restaurant?
Right. That's a good point. That's a good point. That's too logical, Jim.
It's totally uncoupled.
So back to your question, Dave. Is there something diabolical just inherent to politics? I mean, would one party open up something too soon or drag something out purely for political gain when lives are on the line, when people's livelihoods are on the line? Is there just, I'm going to call it an inherent evil, because that's how I see it. Is it that bad? Is partisan politics taking all the humanity out of decisions being made by our elected officials?
I get that. It goes back to your question about leadership a couple of weeks ago, Dave. I think, unfortunately, Michael, it's more true than not that every decision is made based on how it will play with some politician's constituents in one way or another. If that is not true, I just don't see evidence of it. I see too many cases that confirm that that's what's going on.
No, unfortunately, Jim, I think you're right. I think it's everything is looked at through the prism of politics instead of what's really best for people and what makes my chances of getting reelected or looking good in the party better.
Has it always been this way, guys? I mean, I'm not that much younger than you. I'm, you know, pretty close in age. It seems like partisan politics have gotten significantly worse in the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years.
Well, it comes down to our good buddies in the media. The media needs to grab eyeballs, and it's tougher and tougher to grab eyeballs. The way you grab eyeballs is you just sensationalize everything. Hmm. And you just give people the bare minimum of information to bring them back for more. It's like cotton candy. You just give you a little taste, and then next thing you know, it's like, wow, that's good, but it all melted in my mouth. I want more.
Where'd it go? Yeah. Where'd it go? You know, I think you're right. And what's interesting to me in the last few days, the number of people that I've talked to that have quit listening or reading any kind of a media right now. Yep. It's just too depressing. And there's no, and you've talked about this before, Jim, there's no news. It's just a case count of how many COVID cases or how many people have passed away from it. It's a tally, and then you'll get a sad story about how it's affecting somebody. It's just tough to listen to anymore or read.
Mm-hmm. It's just pure emotion that they're playing on, and then it's always that the other side is evil.
Yeah, that's it, Mike. You know, what's changed is that we can't disagree on things. You know, nobody wants dirty water or dirty air. Nobody wants that, okay? It's how we get there. And if you don't agree with the way I want to get there, if we can't come to some kind of consensus on it, then you're evil. You're not just wrong. We just look at it differently.
But why?
You're evil. There's something wrong with you.
So our behaviors are different now. There's no middle ground. Is it back to what Jim said? It's the media? You got to be one extreme or the other? Go ahead.
That certainly hasn't helped. And I just call the media, television, newspaper, and
internet,
websites.
Yeah.
Websites, yeah. But I think the social media, the Facebooks, the Twitters.
Hey, yeah. There's been a lot of news on Twitter, too, that What did I hear? That the guy who's supposedly in charge of fair and balanced has tweeted excessively about how much he hates Trump?
Right, right.
It's like, how's this guy going to be unbiased? Jeez.
Right, yeah. It's very hard for anybody to be unbiased.
I don't know. If we could turn off social media and the TV and just look at the pros and cons from each side, you should be able to look at things unbiased. But I don't think we're given the opportunity or the quiet time to be able to sort through things ourselves. Maybe that's why people are not listening anymore. They want to just take the time to figure things out on their own and not let MSNBC or Fox News form their opinion.
I think you got to cut people a break because we don't have the access to the information or the raw information to make that sort of judgment. We just get whatever information they want to give us and whatever slant they want to put on it when they give it to us.
Right. Yeah. And I still say that the Wall Street Journal, I think, in their reporting comes as close as anybody to doing that.
Yeah. And unfortunately, most people, even on the left, look at the Wall Street Journal grudgingly, favorably, but they still tend to lump them in with the right.
Well, they are to the right. I agree, but I think the reporting itself is pretty straightforward.
And the shame of that is it's an expensive subscription. It's too bad. I wish you could find a Wall Street Journal for the masses. So people were more exposed to more objective journalism.
Is the Christian Science Monitor still around? I never was a big reader of it, but their reputation was pretty fair.
Yeah.
It was.
I don't know. I don't know if they're still around. I used to read them, and they were. I thought they were pretty level in their reporting. They seem to be avoiding just the hot button emotional issues. I think that's if I had to pick one thing, is it's the emotion. That's probably the biggest problem I see, is that too many of these news outlets are going purely with the emotion. So if you turn on the news in the morning, it's just filled with one anecdotal emotional story after another. It's they just say 30 people died in Omaha. Okay, what does that mean? What are the details of what they died of? Are you telling me 30 people who are healthy in every other way with no pre-existing condition caught COVID and died? Okay, that's news. Are you going to tell me 30 people died and 29 of them were 108 and above and they died of COVID? That's a different story.
Right.
Or of the 30 people, 23 had diabetes. I mean, all of that is information that you need in order to be informed about what's going on. And also, the way the bias in reporting COVID deaths, which I understand why that developed. You assume COVID until proven otherwise, so then that's naturally going to increase the number of people who would die from COVID.
Right.
By elevating the ones that are diagnosed. And in many cases, it just simply takes a doctor to say it's COVID, right?
Right.
Someone comes into the hospital and says, okay, he's got, they have a fever, they have congestion, yada, yada, yada. Oh, okay, he's got COVID. That's it. And then if he dies of COVID. Whether or not that was what killed him is not clear.
This all is layered on top of what Dave said earlier, that people are stopped listening or watching the news. I think people have come to realization, number one, politicians can't be trusted. I really think that the partisan stuff is so obvious now that they're really not looking out for everyone's best interest. So we don't trust politicians. We don't trust the media. We don't trust the way data is being presented because, like Jim has pointed out multiple times, the data is almost meaningless because it's often taken out of context. We don't get the big picture. So where does that leave us? We can't trust the media. We can't trust the data we're given. We can't trust our politicians. Where do we go from here?
Excellent question, Mikey. Ask Rome.
Yeah.
Maybe they got some advice for us.
Yeah, Rome and the British Empire.
Yeah.
I think that's, yeah. Those are two things. Yeah, Mike, it's all downhill.
It is. I try to stay positive on things, but I think if I'm coming to this conclusion at this point during the pandemic, I'm sure a lot of people are feeling the same way.
No, I think what Jim's indicating is that we're in trouble. And yep. I think that's absolutely right.
Look, just let's be honest. Look at the two candidates we have for president. I mean, this ain't Thomas Jefferson and Abraham Lincoln going at it, man.
Sure isn't.
No.
It boggles your mind when you look at them.
I feel like this is out of 330 million people, this is the two that we came up with.
These are our top two.
But we know why.
It's like a Saturday Night Live skit.
We should be surprised, though. I mean, because you get scrutinized. I mean, if you have any skeleton in your closet, I don't care if it's back when you're in college, you know, you're going to get dragged through the mud. You know, your kids are going to hear things about you that would have never heard of, you know. It just, and there's no need for it, but it happens. It's any sane person right now, unless their ego is massive. Would not run for president.
That's what you'd have to have, a massive ego right now, and just not care what other people think. And that's, I think that's why we have a dearth of qualified or good candidates right now.
Agree.
You know, you go back to the idea of freedom of the press and the idea of a free press was supposed to keep the politicians in check. In other words, they would be the objective voice on what's going on. But at this point, it's evolved into a business, a full-fledged entertainment business. And these guys are paid ridiculous amounts of money. And I don't even want to think about how much money Sean Hannity makes.
Oh, I know. Just to stir things up. I don't think Sean Hannity provides a useful service.
Right. And the same is true with the NBC folks. I mean, what are they telling us? The MSNBC folks.
No, I agree.
But again, that's the business. It's entertainment. It's not news. It's entertainment.
Right. They're entertaining. They're good entertainers. They're commentators. They've become as experts, and they're not experts. They're just giving their opinion. They're just giving their opinion on things.
It's giving experts a bad name.
Yeah, well, that's. But you know, it's their opinions. We've got opinions. They've got opinions.
Sure.
They've just got a bigger soapbox to express them on.
Yeah,
it's a psychological drug. The information you're giving you reinforces what your opinion is and actually cements it in place, prevents it from being altered.
Yep.
You know, so when you're watching MSNBC and Lawrence O'Donnell tells you something, then it's, well, Lawrence O'Donnell, he's a smart guy. He said this.
Yeah.
Well, that must be true.
Right.
Or Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity said this, and he talks directly with Trump all the time, so this must be the case.
Right.
It's just so hard to find or get any objective information. Now, it's out there, but we, as consumers of this information, do not have the time to go in search of accurate information.
We don't. That's the bottom line, guys.
Yep.
Should we wrap it up? Jim just summed it up. You know, the information's out there, but unfortunately we don't have the time.
Yeah, that is a good summation.
You know, the information's out there. It's just, you got to turn off the MSNBCs, the Fox News, and you got to try to find the objective news sources. And that takes time.
I tell you what the answer is not. It's not, you listen to MSNBC and then you listen to Fox and you think you're going to somehow between the two of them get accurate information, because you don't. You get polarization.
Yes,
you just get
exactly. That's the problem. It's got to have a spin. That's really what it boils down to.
Yeah. It's the middle is boring.
Middle is boring. It is.
The truth is boring.
Is boring. Good news is boring too.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
The truth always lies somewhere in the middle.
Yep.
Finding the truth is hard, and you have to do your homework, and it takes effort, and no one wants to hear that. They just want to hear, this is, I want to take a pill, or I want to, you know.
I want it fast, yep.
Yeah, I want to listen to a podcast, or.
Yep.
It just gets to be the
instant gratification.
Yep. So here's the message, I guess. We'll leave with this. We challenge listeners to turn off MSNBC, turn off Fox News, turn off CNN, and try to find less slanted, little less biased news. Try to get to the meat of really what's going on and form your own opinion. And like Dr. Jim said, it's going to take effort. It's not easy, but I think a lot of people are just tired of the media telling us what to think.
Yeah. Well put, Keller.
Okay. All right, let's wrap it up, guys.
Well put, Keller. Boys, stay tight.
All right. Hey, question for you.
Yes.
The beard.
Okay, the beard came off about a week ago.
Oh, just a week ago.
Yeah.
Well, you were probably looking pretty grizzly then.
It was getting a little Phil Robertson like, but as it started to get warm, you know, it was too annoying, and plus the mask didn't fit right with the. I figured I could be carrying some virus. I could, you know.
Getting through the whiskers there. Yeah.
Yeah. So it came off.
There's got to be some pictures somewhere. I never got a chance to see you with your beard.
Or you're carrying a snack for later.
That happens sometimes, too. Yeah. Kay would say, wipe that off. I said, no, I'm going to have it in an hour.
No.
All right, Dr. Jim.
Hey, Mikey and Dave. Illegitimate non-cover on the mist.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
We'll talk again soon.